I greet one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 12. That's the passage for our consideration this morning. False teachings are not plucked out of thin air. They come from the mouths of false teachers. And the Bible warns us that in the last days, and we definitely lived in the last days, will Jesus find faith on the earth when he returns? That means true, genuine faith will be as rare, if not rarer, than diamonds. Will Jesus find faith on the earth? And the Bible also warns us that in the last days, the Antichrist, with his one world religion, will continue to grow in strength, as well as in number, in influence. And there will also be a falling away in Christianity. The Christianity that we study in the book of Acts, when the disciples were first called Christians as a nickname given to them and they were in Antioch, will take on a very different definition and meaning in the last days. And what we see before our very eyes today is exactly what God warned us of 2,000 years ago. That Christendom has a new face. It may sound the same, it may be spelled the same as in times past. But the Christianity that we know of today is very different from the time of the apostles. Why is that so? It is so because of false teachers and false teachings. And so it was true in the days of the apostles and is even far more real and true in our age, in our time, because of the last days that we are living in. It will come to pass, just as certain as you are seated in this sanctuary this morning, that there will be a falling away of Christianity. Many who will call themselves Christians are not truly Christians. Many that are called seminaries and Bible colleges are not training godly pastors, but training pastors who are called false in their teachings of God's holy word. The Bible warns us in verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." This one verse describes for us the tactics of these false teachers with their false teachings. The tactics will be very, very effective because it will succeed in turning around the bulk, the majority of Christendom, as we can see with our own eyes, in our age and in our time. The word beware is in the imperative. That means it is a command. It is not an option. It is a warning that every Christian must take stock of. Beware. Beware. Excuse me. Beware that we do not become the spoils. The word spoil there literally means to carry off as booty. Like in a warfare, if you lose in the war, your families, your loved ones, yourself, your properties, all these would become the booty of the victor. They won, you have lost. Your country will belong to them. Your home, your money, everything else, including your freedom, your life, will become the spoils of war. That's the meaning of this word, spoil, booty. Beware lest any man take hold of your life, of your property, of your soul, and he becomes the spoils of war of that person. The Bible deliberately chose to use the phrase any man. It doesn't matter who that person is, whether the person has a long string of credentials, It doesn't matter whether the person has gone through seminaries or Bible college. It can come from anyone, any direction. Beware. And not only is it in the imperative, but the word beware, that means take heed, take very careful heed, is in the present tense. That means you cannot say, I have been very, very careful in times past. I don't need to be careful today or tomorrow. No, it is in the present tense, means you and I cannot afford to let our guard down. Just because somebody comes from this pulpit and speaks from this pulpit doesn't mean that you can let your guard down. You must always be like the Bereans. Check against what everybody says from this pulpit against the Word of God. If it is not the Word of God, doesn't matter who that person is. Even if the person is your own pastor, because pastors make mistakes. You must evaluate against the Word of God. Beware, present tense, continuously. Whether you are in the church, whether you're outside the church, whether you're reading some articles, you have to beware. Because anyone can come at any time and make you his spoil. That's frightening, isn't it? That's scary. Because we can become the spoil of someone by reading an article, by reading a book. They can capture us, they can capture our mind and capture our way of life, our way of thinking. And they can come into churches, they can be pastors, they can be elders, they can be deacons, they can be anyone. Beware. The world is not a playground, dear friends. It is indeed a battleground. And they're battling for your soul and that of your children's. Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you. How would they do it? Well, the tactics would be this. Through philosophy. In the days of the apostles, the Greeks loved philosophy. They would consider it as the highest effort of the intellect. They will talk about deep things. They will sit around and they will drink coffee and they will chit-chat and they will talk. And they will spend hours talking about the things that will pertain to the mind, to the heavenly realm, deep things, philosophies. And I believe Singapore is very much like the Greek. Because in Singapore, we think that as long as a person is educated, education seemed to be the panacea for all social ills and social problems. Educate them, they will stop littering. Educate them, they will stop bad behavior. Education seems to be the solution to all our problems, including our sin and our struggles and evil and crime. But we realize that that is not true, isn't it? What we have today are educated criminals, educated litterbugs, educated sinners. Education that is based upon the words of men, based upon the philosophies of men, will not help us in any way because it cannot deal with the problem of the heart. Because the problem is not with the mind, it's with the heart. And only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can help us deal with the immorality that is so prevalent in our world and in our lives, in times past, in the past. That was what we were like. We studied that last week when we consider Ephesians chapter 2. How in times past we were like this, but now we are supposed to be different. They're going to use philosophies to tickle your mind, to make you feel very important, that you know it all, that if you have their brand of philosophy, because in those days it was Gnosticism. In our age, in our time, there will still be many of these literature that is out there that will make all those who imbibe in these kind of literature very high-minded, because it makes man the judgment of God, that makes men decide what is right and what is wrong. This is the philosophies that we are exposed to today. Evolution. The theory of evolution is so widespread nowadays that it is considered ancient, myopic, living in the dark ages if you do not accept the theory of evolution as the correct theory for the origin of this world, of this universe. Christians have compromised because they felt that we cannot be myopic. And so there are many, many Christians who try to Christianize secular atheistic teachings like evolution by just attending the word or put it next to the word evolution, the word God. And so they came up with terms such as theistic evolution. God used evolution to bring this world into existence. And by such compromises, the word of God is made null and void. The Bible made it very clear in Genesis 1 and 2 that God created the world out of nothing. That this world was created in 6 days, six 24-hour days. And what the world has is what we know is known as the appearance of age. It may appear to be so old, but in fact it is only a few days old. When Adam was created, Adam was a full-grown man. And you ask Adam, how old are you? He may look like a 20-year-old man, but actually he was one day old. What happened? He had the appearance of age. All the trees, the vegetation, all the birds, all the fish in the oceans, the birds in the sky, the beasts on land, all of them had an appearance of age. Likewise, the universe, what we have is an appearance of age. But the world rejects it. They have their own philosophy to deny creation, to deny global flood. One by one, they continue to deny miracles of the Bible, to deny the deity of Christ, to deny the humanity of Christ. The philosophies of the world will continue and constantly attack and undermine the word of God because it makes man feel good. That's philosophy. It makes men feel very important if they imbibe such very high teachings that is accepted by the world at large as the highest form of knowledge, the philosophies. The Bible teaches us that if you know the word of God, you are smarter, you are cleverer than your own teachers. You are smarter and cleverer even than the ancients. That's the teaching in God's word. If you know the word of God, not the philosophies, but the philosophies will come. And the Christendom today has been captured by such philosophies because it is very attractive, because it is built upon vain deceit, empty deception, a very strong and dangerous term. It means guile, trickery. It makes men feel good, but what you have is thin air. It elevates the pride of man. That's why the Bible describes it as vain, that is empty deception, deceit. It will capture us. And he has captured seminaries. He has captured Bible colleges. Do you know that Harvard used to be a Christian college? Today it's not anymore. It teaches liberal arts more than theology. It has been captured. The philosophies of the world with vain deceit has captured. It doesn't matter how big, how strong these seminaries are, how rich they are, how powerful they are. In the spiritual realm, as far as Satan is concerned, you and I cannot use material things. The three-dimensional armament is useless against Satan and the spiritual realm. All the atomic arsenal of America, China, and Russia combined together will not even prick or even dent the armor of Satan. It's useless. It's in a spiritual realm. That's why it is so dangerous. It's so tricky. And it's so effective. This tactic had worked with every age. And he will continue to use it because it has succeeded. And it is so effective through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of man. The word tradition is not a bad word. It's a neutral word. Sometimes, in certain contexts, it is a good word. But in this particular context, it is a bad word. It is a tradition of men, where man will make the traditions of God so important in his life that it is more important than the word of God. The words of man is elevated above that the word of God. Traditions. Because these are after the rudiments of the world. The word rudiments means something that is basic, something that is orderly in arrangement. But this time round, it is characterized by the world, the rudiments. Very orderly, very logical, but it is very worldly, very carnal. Because it sounds good, because it sounds logical, and man would buy into it, and man would be enslaved by it, man would be captured by it. And it is definitely not after Christ. This is the tactics. And the attacks will be found in verse 9 and verse 12. The nature of the false teachings. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why must Paul say this concerning Christ? Why must Paul say that for in Christ liveth all the fullness of God bodily? That means when you see Christ, you see God the Father. You see God himself. That in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is fully God and he is fully man. Everything that you need to know about God, you study about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he walked on this earth, the Bible reveals to us who Jesus Christ is. And when you know Christ, you will know God the Father. And in Jesus Christ, you have all that you need to know. He is not lacking in any way, in any capacity, not even in the minutest detail. The Lord Jesus Christ is all that we need. Don't let anyone tell you any different. There are some who say that, yes, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but not enough. You must add to that belief of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must bow down to Mary. You must do penance. You must be baptized in order to be saved. If you are not baptized, your salvation is incomplete. It's out there. This is the attack in our age, in our times. Churches out there, some of them are like that. They say, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but not good enough. There are others, not all charismatics, some of them, would say that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is good enough, but you do not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Yes, you are a Christian, but you do not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God until you speak in tongues. And once you speak in tongues, then the Spirit of God comes into you. Then your salvation is full and your salvation is complete. That is not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible tells us that you are not a Christian if Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is not living in you. Romans 8 made that very clear. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He is none of God's. He does not belong to God if the Spirit of Christ does not live in that person. Romans 8, verse 9 is that teaching. Don't let anyone tell you different, because there are many, many different shades of Christianity out there. There's another group that says, Jesus Christ is very good for salvation, but he is not good enough for sanctification. You must now do good works in order to sanctify yourself, to make yourself holy. Now that you have been saved, Jesus Christ can save you, but you must do good works to sanctify yourself. Sounds good. Any kind of philosophy that involves making man the center, that inflates the pride of man, will always sound good to man, because it will appeal to the carnal, sinful nature of men. This group will tell us Oh, it is so good to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but in order for you to have a sanctified life, you must not buy things on Sunday. You must do what we tell you to do, blindly. You cannot keep any of these days, such as Christmas, Easter. These are all pagan. You cannot observe them. You must only read the Bible. You must only pray. You cannot do anything else. Because by doing all these so-called Christian things, you will begin to sanctify yourself. Is that the teaching in God's Word? That's not what the Bible teaches us. It may be a very fine line, but it is a very, very important fine line. Why must we pray? Why must we read God's Word? The Bible teaches us from faith to faith. Your salvation begins in faith. Your salvation will continue in faith. And your salvation must end in faith. Jesus Christ is the one who saves us. Jesus Christ is the one who sanctifies us. Jesus Christ is the one who will glorify us. You cannot say Jesus Christ is good enough for salvation, but not good enough for sanctification. It must be by good works then we are sanctified. No. We are sanctified. That means we are set apart. We are made holy. We are made cleansed before God. By reading God's word, our minds are renewed. And by the blood of Christ, when it washes us. There are only two things that can sanctify us. And because we are God's children, the fruit of our salvation, we demonstrate good works. Good works do not sanctify us. Good works only demonstrate that we are truly born again. Please do not make yourself confused. We are not sanctified by doing good works. Good works is a fruit, is the demonstration that we are sanctified by the blood of Christ, that we are different, we have been washed clean, and therefore we do good works to show people, to let people see that our faith is genuine, is real, and we do it from our hearts. We do not do all these things to sanctify ourselves. Only the blood of Christ and the word of God can sanctify us. According to the teaching of the Bible, only two things. Not our good works. Be very careful. Because these philosophies are out there. What did Paul have to warn them of? Look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of holy day, or in the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are the shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. What does this mean? You see, in the days of the apostles, there were these Jews who have entered into the churches. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is good, but you must also follow the Old Testament way of life. Now, they want the Gentiles, in other words, to live like a Jew. Because they say that, well, in the Old Testament, this was what we did. And now for you, you must do the same. Believe in Jesus Christ is good, but it is not enough. It is incomplete unless you follow our dietary laws. Certain meat you cannot eat. Certain drink you cannot drink. The moment you eat all this food, you drink all this drink, then you are not a Christian. You can lose your salvation. You must observe all these food and drink. Then you will be safe. Not only that, you must also observe certain holy days. In the Old Testament, you have Passover, you have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, these are all the Jewish cultures, customs that they must follow as a Jew. It was compulsory. They also have the new moons. So the months of the year are supposed to be special. You find this in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers and Leviticus. Certain months of the year, they must observe certain festivities. They must not eat leavened bread. They must follow this rigidly. Every year, they must follow the new moons. And then also the Sabbath days. The Sabbath day teachings, because it is in the plural, you realize that it is not only the weekly Sabbath that we are very familiar with that is included here. you study the book of Exodus, you study the book of Leviticus, you'll find that it was the custom, the teaching in the Old Testament, that every seventh year in Israel, you're not supposed to do any work. And every 50th year, that's called the Jubilee year, you're not supposed to do any work. Seventh day, you don't work. Seventh year, you don't work. The 50th year, you do not work. You must observe them. In the days of the early church, these Jews penetrated into the churches. They said that, yes, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is good, but you must also observe all these Old Testament Jewish cultures. For them, that's culture. But they want to impose it on the Gentiles, on the non-Jews. You must observe all these things in order for your salvation in Jesus Christ to be complete. It's very similar to other religions. In some other religions, you have to follow certain dietary laws. My sister, in her home, there are a lot of all these objects of idols. She's a vegetarian. She doesn't eat meat. Not for any physical reason. It's for spiritual reasons. She felt that, she believed that life is precious. Only vegetable life is different. So she eats only vegetable. She will not eat meat. And she has been doing this for many years. The Jews will have their own dietary laws. But what the Jews had, the Bible warns us in verse 17, it was supposed to be a shadow of things to come. Now that Jesus Christ has come, all these shadows for the Gentiles, they do not need to follow them, to observe them, not even a single one of them. But the Jews, if they want to observe them, they can observe them because it is part of the Jewish culture. That's the only culture in the whole wide world that is given by God. All the rest of the culture of every other religion, of every pagan religion, including the Chinese, the Indians, anyone and everyone, the Koreans, everyone, is man-made. It's pagan in nature. So what do we do with our culture? We have our culture, yes. But as long as that culture does not contradict the Word of God, we observe them, we follow them. The Jewish culture is for the Jews. They can keep the Passover by all means as a Jew. They want to circumcise, they can circumcise by all means. But the moment they want to add all these to the salvation work of Jesus Christ, that would be wrong. The moment any one of us would add our culture into what Jesus Christ has done for us, we would be wrong. Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is all that we need, because in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is nothing that is insufficient in the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, in this church, it is the practice, you may call it a tradition, that we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Easter. We have an Easter service, which will be next month, God willing. We also have a Christmas Eve service, end of the year. We also have a remembrance service of the 16th century Reformation, the last Lord's Day of the month of October. This is a tradition of the church. Now, if at any time this particular tradition of the church changes and we make all these participation as part and parcel of salvation, that means telling people, if any one of you do not attend the church's Christmas Eve service and the Easter service and the Watch Night service or the end of October remembrance service of the 16th century Reformation, you lose your salvation. That was what they did. With the Old Testament culture, they want to bring it in and say, believe in Jesus Christ is good, but you must do all these things as well. That's where Paul warned them. Beware. Even if it is from the Old Testament, when it is misinterpreted, misapplied, it can become a problem. A big, big problem. Can we celebrate Chinese New Year? By all means, do it in a way that is God-honoring. Can we celebrate Christmas? By all means, do it in a way that is God-honoring. Be very, very careful. Again, it may be a thin line, but a very important thin line. Because living in our age, in our time as Christians, we are different. If you want to go on a very strict diet for health reasons, by all means, but please do not think that by eating only vegetables and do not eat meat at all, you are more holy than others, that you will add to your salvation. Be very careful. Please do not think in any way, in any capacity, even when these events are spiritual in nature, that you can add to the salvation of Christ. Be very careful. It happened in the days of the apostles. It is happening in many churches today. But don't let it happen in this church. And the church is not the building. The church is you and me, people. And us, don't let it happen in your life, in your way of thinking, in the way that you relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is all that you need. Believe in Him. He must be the focus of our existence. Not any man, not anyone. Any teaching that draws you away from Christ cannot be of God. Be very careful. It can even come from this pulpit. Be very careful. We must point you to Christ, not point you to us. You must look to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to anything or to anyone else, as the sufficiency of your salvation. Not my words, but the word of God, the word of Christ. The Bible is the written word. Jesus Christ is known as the living word. To know the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank God that He has given to us the word of God without mistakes, that we can depend on it, we can learn it, love it, trust it. And this must be the anchor of your soul and your salvation. And don't let anyone shift that anchor, change that anchor, take that anchor away from you. Because these people are out there. They will spoil you, make you a booty of their conquest. It will be your soul that they are after. And they will do it by affecting your mind, and then they will take your heart. Be careful. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And our salvation is complete. Verse 10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Don't have to be afraid of anyone, including Satan himself. Don't have to be afraid, because once you are a child of God, the Spirit of God lives inside you. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Don't have to be afraid. We are complete in Jesus Christ. How so? Verse 11 and 12 describe how it came about. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. That means when a person becomes a Christian, there is a circumcision that is done. Now this is an Old Testament terminology, circumcision. It was given by God to Abraham when Abraham asked for a sign. God gave him this sign. This was the covenantal sign that you, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all your descendants, by this sign, you will be my people. God gave them the privilege of bearing his name, Israel, Prince of God. Circumcision. But for the Christian, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, that means it is not the physical circumcision that the Bible speaks of, but it is a spiritual, invisible circumcision, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What it means here is, this is the Christian circumcision. Verse 11 teaches us the Christian circumcision. What exactly is this Christian circumcision that enable us to put off the body of sin of the flesh? That means the power of sin is broken, the power of sin is no more, taken away forever. What exactly is this circumcision that is not made with the hands? It is invisible, it is spiritual, it is powerful because it can break away the chains of sin. Whatever sin that once upon a time enslaved us, it is now broken forever. It is known as the Christian circumcision. What exactly is this Christian circumcision? Verse 12 explains, buried with him in baptism. So what exactly is this Christian circumcision? Baptism. The word buried means funeralized. Do you know what's the word of funeral? Funeralized. Now, this word is not invented by me. It is found in the systematic theology written by Dr. Buswell. Dr. Buswell was the teacher of the founder of the BP movement in Singapore. Reverend Timothy Toh was his student. If you read that systematic theology, he preferred the word funeralized. That's what it means. Simply what it means is this. Okay? The word buried. To dispose of the dead body. That's what it means. Funeralized. That means the old man, it's no more. When was it no more? When was it funeralized? When was it buried forever? This old man that is mentioned earlier, the body of sin, the sins of the flesh, funeralized with him in baptism. That means when a person becomes a Christian, the Bible teaches us two kinds of baptism. That which is visible, that is the water baptism that we, this church, carries out twice a year in end of June and in end of December. Water baptism, very important sacrament. And then the other one is invisible, that is the spiritual baptism. That is the baptism when God saves us in our hearts. It's invisible. That's the baptism of Christ. That is the baptism that is spoken of here. The Christian circumcision is baptism. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And because of that, we now have this blessed hope that just as God raised him from the dead, we have been baptized by the Lord Jesus Christ with the Spirit of God in us. That means when the Spirit of God comes upon us, that is the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Spirit of God. You study the Bible very carefully. The Spirit of God doesn't do any baptism. There is no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as the charismatics are so fond of using. What the Bible teaches us is Jesus Christ will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. That means when a person becomes a Christian, the Spirit of God comes into the person. And when the Spirit of God comes into the person, he is considered as funeralized. The old man is no more. And because of this, one day when we die physically, we will be raised from the dead. This is our blessed hope. This is the completeness of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you truly, sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what happens. And since baptism has replaced circumcision, in the Old Testament, circumcision and the keeping of the Passover, they are seen as one. You cannot take a Passover if you are not circumcised. And we know that the Passover has been replaced by the Lord's Supper. And just as circumcision was the prerequisite for the Passover, and since the Passover replaced by the Lord's Supper, circumcision replaced by baptism, baptism therefore became the prerequisite for the Lord's Supper. And that's why the warning was given. Anyone who has not been baptized, kindly refrain from the bread and the cup. It became the prerequisite for the Lord's Supper. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is all that we need. Out there in the world, in the Christian world, there are many churches, many different denominations that will twist and turn. And they will want to capture your soul and cause our faith to be shipwrecked. Beware of false teachers and false teachings. They are out there, and they want to make us their spoils. We are not saying that this church is the only church, the only true church. We are not saying that at all. There are many Baptist churches that are fundamental, that are sound. We may disagree with them because we are Presbyterians, they are Baptists in terms of the understanding of baptism, church government, and some doctrinal issues. That's how denominations are formed. We are not saying that these churches are not safe. We are just warning the way that the Bible warns the Christians in those days. That don't be naive Don't believe everyone who just walk up to you and say that I am a Christian. Don't believe everything that you read from the books sold in Christian bookshops, bookrooms. Read everything with discernment, with care. Because the attack can come from anyone, any direction. And don't let your guard down, because beware is in the present imperative. It is a command. That means it is a very strong warning to all of us. And it is in the present tense. You must keep at it and keep on at it. Because at any time, these people will try their best to shipwreck our faith. The only way is to know the Word of God. You must know the Word of God. There is no shortcut. If you do not know the Word of God, you can become a prey. Your faith can be tossed to and fro like a ship without a rudder. When the wind blows in this direction, you swing in this direction. When the wind blows in another direction, you swing in the other direction, because you have no anchor. The anchor is the Word of God. You must spend time and take time to know the Word of God, because the world out there can attack us from many directions. What we have here is the spiritual attack. When you go out into the world, you have the worldly attack. They will use the deceitfulness of riches, another form of deception. This is vain deceit. That is the philosophy. You go into the world, it's the deceitfulness of riches. They will make us think that if you have money, that's all you need in this life. And that's deception. It's not true. Not true at all. You study the book of Ecclesiastes and you will find out how vain and how empty the world can be. With all the gold and all the glitter, it is nothing but fool's gold. The deception that is in the world, be careful. The deception that is in Christendom, be also very careful. The world is not a playground, dear friends. The world is a battleground. And that's why we pray every Tuesday evening. We encourage more of you who can to pray. Do not take for granted the existence of this church. It is so difficult to build. It is so easy to destroy. You ever watch National Geographic, how the people who practice implosion, they will take years and years to build a skyscraper. To bring one down, you need only a few days. Put in the right chargers in the right columns in the right spot, press a button, and the series of chargers will just explode and the building will just fall down. That's implosion. They don't want to explode outwards. They want to implode inwards. That's it. That's it. Just one button, everything will fall. Your faith and my faith, this church, the Bible College, it's all the same. It took Reverend Toh's entire life to build up the Far Eastern Bible College. How fast will it fall? All you need is just one generation of faculty members that are liberals, that are modernists, and everything will go down. That's it, finish. Same at this church. All you need is a new group of leaders who are liberal and modernists with all the worldly thinking, and this church will go. Like many churches all over the world. You go down to Australia, many of these churches that once upon a time reverberates with all the hymns, the same hymns that we sing week after week. They used to sing, and now these churches are nothing but empty shells bought over by people who will use it for their offices and use it for their restaurants, use it for all their karate and their taekwondo and all kinds of things. That's the world that we're living in. Don't take it for granted. If we do not do our part and defend the faith, our sons and our daughters will not have the faith. They will not have the word. We have to do our part. Beware. Beware that no one would diminish the Lord Jesus Christ in our midst. He is all that we need. They will attack his character. They will attack his word. And they will not stop doing it, because Satan knows that his days are numbered. He knows. He knows it's better than many of us, because he is urgent. He is controlling the world, and he is gaining more and more seminaries, Bible colleges, the mass media, all in his hands, in his pocket. He's the prince of this world. We are not urgent because we do not see the danger that we are in. We do not see the danger that our sons and daughters are in, because we are all still so caught up with material things, with the things of the world. Beware of false teachers and false teachings. They are real. They are out there. and they are in here too. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, as we think of the salvation that Thou hast given to us. For Thou hast placed us here in the 21st century for a purpose, to fight the good fight of faith, that we may stand at the end of our life's journey, we may continue to stand. O Lord, may Thou protect us. May Thou defend us against the attacks of the evil one, both from within and without, that Thy people will not be found wanting when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. O Lord, defend the Far Eastern Bible College. Defend this church, that this church and this college may be found faithful when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We pray, Father, for the generation of leaders, that we may not fail Thee, that we may realize the awesome responsibility placed on our weak shoulders. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the founding fathers who have kept the faith. May we be found faithful to keep the faith until we see Thee face to face. And help us, O Lord, to also pass it on to faithful men and women who will in turn keep the faith, that our sons and our daughters may find faith in this church. O Lord, may Thou be merciful to preserve us and grant to us the courage and the strength and the discernment to do that which is well-pleasing in Thy sight, that we may beware of false teachers and false teachings in these last days. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.